So Stephanie Philp is we do the Inside Your Mind segment with her.
Mm-hmm.
She's a neuro-linguistic programmer, a trainer, practitioner, and many other things. Business coach.
Yeah.
Dog walker.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. In
parrot,
the rain.
Parrot parent.
Yeah.
But today you want to talk about
parent. I like that.
Yeah, I just came up with that now. Getting into the flow, getting into a flow state is what you wanted to talk about.
I thought it might be quite useful. So on my other website, stephaniephilp.com, there is a whole, you know, quite a long PDF available on what flow is and how to get into a flow state. But I thought because we're short on time this morning, I'd talk about some things related to how to get into a good state because, you know, the world as it is at the moment, even little things can trigger us into unresourceful states. And a state is just basically how we feel at any given time.
So an unresourceful state.
Yeah, it's one where we're kind of rushing around and not thinking and maybe make mistakes. And
patience is in short supply.
It could be with some people. So everybody kind of experiences it differently, but it's like we're not at our best, if we just say that we're not at our best when we're in an unresourceful state.
Yeah.
And when we're in a more resourceful state, then, you know, we can get into that flow state more easily and we are in a calm state, so things seem to just, you know, happen and without any stress. So the thing is that our mind can't process, well, it processes things that we think about as if they're really happening. So if we think about some horrible situation that we might be worrying about, our body will react as if we're actually in that situation.
Yeah.
And so then we'll feel all the feelings associated with that thing that we're thinking about. And so it might be outside of our conscious awareness, but we can, you know, get a hold of it. So, for example, as people are listening to this now, they could notice how their shoulders feel right at the moment. You know, like are they hunched up or are they relaxed, you know? And what's their breathing like? Are they breathing from deep in the belly or are they taking kind of sips? Because if we're taking sips of air, then we're more likely to be in an anxious state because we're only getting a little bit of oxygen at a time. You know, how do your hips feel right now?
I haven't thought about that.
Yeah, especially if you're sitting, that's right. You know, how do your hips feel sitting on the seat? Or even if you're standing up, how does that feel? You know?
How might your hips feel?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes people might have pain somewhere that they can push through it even though there's pain there. And then when they stop, they go, oh, God, that hurts, you know.
Yeah, okay, all right.
So even your fingers, you know. So how do your fingers feel? Are your fists clenched or are your fingers relaxed? You know, there's a lot of things that we can pay attention to in terms of our physiology just when we're sitting or standing without necessarily doing anything. And so that kind of tells us what's going on with our thinking. But in reverse, our thinking also affects our physiology. So if we're suddenly in a difficult situation, and so it might not be consciously again, so it might be something like being called into the boss's office unexpectedly. And it depends on your boss, you know. So, excuse me, for some people they might go, well, that's no big deal. And it's not consciously, it's like, how does your body react to that? You know, if you get a phone call that is upsetting, you know, your body will react to that. And so in those situations, we go into our kind of caveman type where our brain kind of, our thinking brain shuts down and we're just consciously striving for survival. So we go into that fight or flight or freeze. Yeah, situation. And again, we may not be aware that our body's doing that because we'd be thinking with our brain and focused on doing something and maybe just can't understand why we're not getting through what it is that we want to get through. So I thought if we could go over. So the first thing is then when we change our thinking, so if we go, instead of worrying about whatever it is that we're worried about, we use the same process to think about the best type of scenario that could happen. So, you know, I don't know, maybe worried about, you know, I don't know, what are people worried about at the moment, Aaron? You're interviewing people all the time.
Climate change, housing crisis, where's the sand going off the beach?
Yeah. Yeah, it's all over my legs this morning.
What are we
going to
do for Christmas? It's your fault.
I feel like I was sunblasted when
your,
I went out this
You
morning.
And your dog taking the sand.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Christmas is coming up.
Oh, yeah, so Christmas is. So maybe people are worried, you know, that they haven't got enough money to buy stuff or, you know, where they're going to be or all kinds of things like that. And so in their mind, their thinking involves what they're envisioning. Yeah, that's the word.
It's a wacky word, isn't it?
Yeah, or visualising. So what they're visualising in the mind, it also includes what they're talking to themselves about. It might include sounds. It also includes the physiology. And so all of that encompasses thinking. So if they're thinking about Christmas in a negative way, because, you know, a lot of people hate Christmas. Some people love Christmas, so some people will be all excited about it and other people will be like, oh, God, you know, we've only got, what, 4 weeks and it's Christmas, or it'll be over in 4 weeks or something.
Yeah, yeah, I've got to buy all the presents, I've got to make all the food.
Yeah, exactly. So they start, you know, winding up in a negative way. So that's a really good example of how the same thing can have different impact on people. So some people will be worried and upset about it and other people will be getting excited about it and then their states will be appropriate to how they're thinking.
Stay right where you are.
Okay.
Yeah.
How they're thinking. And so also, though, if their physiology is better, then we tend to think better thoughts.
So is it the chicken or the egg, Stephanie? What came first? We felt bad, so we started thinking bad thoughts about bad things? Or we were thinking about bad things that made us feel bad?
But I don't know which one starts. It could be anyone.
Yeah.
But often it's the thinking. Or we notice, oh, I don't feel too good in my shoulders or something, and then you go, oh, okay, so what's going on? Your body can give you information about what you're thinking. And so the other thing is then that if we think a negative thought, because like attracts like, then we'll think another negative thought. You know, so it might be, oh, God, we've got Christmas coming up. That means I've got to do, you know, I've got to organise everybody to come on Christmas Day, and then I've got to organise all this food, and, you know, and so one thing leads to another, and then pretty soon people are starting to feel a bit depressed and down, and, you know, the physiology changes, shifts according to all that. And so some of being able to get into a better state is to jar that thinking, stop that thinking straight away, and that could be as easy as saying stop. Out loud, not when you're in a car driving with somebody. It's not a good idea. But
choose your moment.
Yeah, choose your moment, yeah. You know, saying it out loud, so something that can jam the thinking. It could be something like putting on some really upbeat, positive music and dancing around for 3 minutes. I mean, it doesn't take long to change it. It could be imagining a stop sign or a red traffic light or something.
Yeah.
Or it could be something that you physically do, like, I don't know, you know, bang the desk, or one thing that people can do if they really like torture is to get a elastic band and put it around their left wrist.
Yeah.
And then think the negative thoughts, and as they're thinking it, just pull the elastic band out and let it go. And if they do that 2 or 3 times thinking about the negative things, the next time they go and think about that, it'll interrupt it by, that's a bit painful, right? Mm-hmm. And that's enough to then go, okay, so what do I want to think about? So how do I want to think?
Yeah.
You know, and then it could be, okay, well, you know, I was thinking about all this work I've got to do for the family, but isn't it going to be great to have all the family together? You know, isn't that going to be wonderful? You know, a lot of people can't do that. Isn't that great, you know? And isn't it wonderful that I can prepare all this food with love and it'll all be done and we can all enjoy a fantastic meal or meals over Christmas? So it's just kind of switching the thinking around.
Do you think sometimes people need to maybe think further away from the whole Christmas issue for a bit?
Go past Christmas, you mean? Or?
Well, just think about something completely different for a while. Like even, I know for some people, even trying to think the positive thoughts about Christmas still brings them back to, because it's still Christmas.
Yeah.
And they're too close to the negative thoughts. They might need to think about, or they might, like you say, play some nice music.
That's it. So that jams it then. And then once they can do that, then they can, because they've got to get, they are going to experience Christmas one way or another, then go back to it with a fresh mind and then start ramping up the positive things about the things that they were thinking about negatively before. And the other thing is the music, especially if you can dance, that changes your physiology.
Mm.
So, you know, you don't need to do it in the middle of the street. You can just do it at home.
But if you do it in the middle of the street, you might share it with other
people. Exactly, exactly. And yeah. So, you know, that's and then put something on that you really love, and then at the end of 3 or 4 minutes, you'll be smiling and your mood will have changed. And then you can go back to whatever it was that you were thinking about before. So, and then the other thing is to notice things like symptoms of anxiety, like stomach churning, you know. I mean, if you haven't had anything to eat that's disagreed with you and your stomach starts churning, then usually people go, oh, what's up, you know. So noticing that muscle tension, sometimes people feel a bit hyper, especially at this time of year, because they've got a lot to do and that makes them feel hyper.
Yeah.
Shortness of breath, sweating, heart racing, blushing.
Blushing?
Yeah, sometimes people blush because they just, because it's just blood rushing to the head, basically. And so, you know, we can be too busy thinking and or doing rather than focusing on how we feel. So the way that we feel and what we achieve comes from the way we feel. So it's really important to get that right. So apart from these internal and external threats, and substances also affect our physiology. Like
substances?
Yeah, things like the food or drink you consume. Like, you know, three gallons of coffee before 7 o'clock. There'll be paper in the walls at midnight, you know. The use of drugs can affect, you know, prescription or otherwise, and well, the environment.
That's the point of drugs, usually, yeah. Or often.
Yeah, and but some people take drugs that don't necessarily realise how it's impacting them. They might think it's positive, but it might take away the pain, but it might have side effects.
Yeah.
And then even the environment. So I find with I keep moving or something.
you won't sit perfectly still, Stephanie. Oh, I have to move the microphone. No, I wasn't in a good place to start, but that'll be better.
Okay. Things like I find that if my working space is a mess, then I can't focus. It's like everything's cluttering the place up and my mind's cluttered as well. So I might take 5 minutes to just tidy the room up and then it's like, oh, right, okay, it's clear now. So let's get on with that.
Right. That's almost like a ritual to get yourself settled into your work mode. Yeah.
And other people, they can work in a war zone, you know, it doesn't affect them because they've got different way of, it's called meta programs, but we won't go there today.
Okay.
So let's talk about ways to change your state then, shall we?
Okay.
So the first one is designed to align and tap into the intelligence of your head, heart, and gut brains.
Okay.
So we've talked about this before, that we have a brain in our head, most of us do anyway. And then we also have a functioning brain in our heart. So our brain is a responsive and adaptive neural network.
Yeah.
So in our heart we have a brain. It's only got about 120,000 brain cells, well, between 70 and 120. But in our gut, we also have a brain, which is in the linings of the intestines mainly. And that's about the size of a cat's brain or a dog's brain. So that's, you know.
I have to ask, what happens when someone, there are operations where you have your parts of your intestine removed.
Yes, I know. And that's a bit scary because the people that developed the MBIT, the multiple brain integration technique stuff, that they found that people who had had stomach stapled and, parts of their intestine removed, because the gut is responsible for us doing things, getting on and physically moving, it's responsible for actually movement, and who we are as a person, our identity comes from our gut. It's the first thing that forms in the womb. That the people that had these operations started having control issues. They wanted to control everything all of a sudden. And so they did some more study on that. Let's not go into that because we're going to get sidetracked.
Very much a sidetrack. But folks, the idea that we do have the same stuff that's in our head, brain matter, is in our body as well.
It's in other organs as well, I'm sure, you know.
So the whole thing, think with your gut, or think with your heart, or listen to your gut instinct, that's actually real.
Yeah. So real physical our head thing. Is responsible for creativity and thinking, you know, thing. Our heart is relationships and values and things that are important to us and love and all those sort of things. And our gut, as I say, is the first thing that forms in the womb, and it's responsible for our sense of identity, who we are, and movement or non-movement. Right. So often if people are procrastinating, it might be that they're not literally procrastinating. It might be that the gut doesn't actually know what the hell the heart wants. So nothing's happening, and it's going, okay, so what do we do now? So we want to align the head, heart, and gut. When they're all in alignment, then we'd be quite wise and do things that are wise rather than just reacting by our gut or, you know, overriding the things that are important to us, our values.
And just tying this back into, like, we're talking about getting into a flow state or getting out of the negative state.
Yeah.
I guess when we're in that negative state and our body's hunched and everything's tightened up,
that
doesn't help us listen to our heart and our gut.
No, so this is why
creativity.
This is a breathing exercise. So what you do is you sit or stand in a comfortable position with your back straight and your shoulders back. That's it.
Right, I'm getting into there. I'm modelling this.
And then you begin breathing from your lower abdomen, so they call it belly breathing. And you're breathing slowly and steadily through your nose, taking approximately 6 seconds, so a count of six. So if people can't do six, five or four is fine. It's mainly that that you're breathing in for a count of six and then out for a count of six in a nice kind of sine wave, if you like. So you're breathing in through your nose or your mouth in a gentle wave. And then it's more important that it's regular rather than it's exactly six, as I said before. So four is fine if that's what you can do. And so as you do this, it starts to balance out the autonomic nervous system and you start to notice yourself being more calm. And so then the next thing is to create a feeling of appreciation or gratitude. So you can do this by thinking about somebody that you love and truly deeply appreciate or that you're grateful for, or a pet. So sometimes people struggle with that because I go, well, I like them most of the time, but then they do this. So often a pet or even a plant, you know, something that you deeply appreciate. So you create this feeling of appreciation and then put your hand on your heart or put your hands together as if in prayer with your thumbs pressing into the groove of your chest. And each time you breathe in, imagine that you're
like
breathing.
This.
That's it, yep.
Oh, right, okay.
And each time that you breathe in, imagine that you're breathing in that feeling of appreciation and gratitude into your heart. And sometimes it helps to breathe it in as a colour as well. So you might have a colour for gratitude. I quite like pink. Well, I like pink anyway. So. And pink is a colour of love. So breathe that colour in, breathe that sense of gratitude into your heart. And as you breathe out, imagine breathing the sense of appreciation down into your gut. And you just keep breathing in this way for about 5 minutes. And at the end of 5 minutes, the tendency is to just feel this sense of equanimity, you know, this kind of calmness. So you've been doing it for about two.
Yeah.
Have you noticed a change in the state? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can, right away, because I haven't done that exact thing, but I have some practice at doing things like that. So.
And so the feeling of doing that for 5 minutes can last for up to 4 or 5 hours. So taking 5 minutes can get you in that nice state for 4 or 5 hours. And then so if you did that, you know, when you get up in the morning, then do it again at lunchtime, maybe sometime in the evening, and, you know, you'll stay in a nice state all day. So that's one thing. It's worth doing the exercise 3 or 4 times a day. Every time I come out here, it's really noisy outside, isn't it?
Is it stressing you out?
No, I just noticed it.
There's the guys from Extreme doing the street bins.
Oh, is it? Oh, right, okay.
Shout out to them, doing a good job.
That must be it. Maybe they do it every time I'm in here.
What is a Monday morning thing? So,
So the next thing is to notice your physiology is your personal feedback mechanism. So as soon as you start to notice any kind of tension, you can become aware of what the trigger was. You know, like what happened immediately before you started to feel tense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did something or someone trigger that? So the next one is from a woman named Annette Good, G-U-D-D-E. She did a TEDx talk about a way to simply is to relax your tongue and loosen your jaw. and this helps quiet your thoughts. So loosen.
Oh yeah, the loosening the jaw is a really good one. Yeah. I've always found that to be
And so the other thing I'd suggest to add to this is to looking up towards the ceiling or the sky. So moving your eyes up rather than moving your head up.
Right. And also, I'm trying all these things. You can't see me, folks, but I'm working on it.
It's all right. We have him committed after this.
Yeah. The people walking past must be like, what's going on in there?
So building on what Annette Good says, there's an exercise from one of my NLP trainers, John Overdurf, and it's called the peripheral vision exercise. And it's like amazing. So I'll just tell you what it is. It's really quick. So you find a point in front of you and slightly above normal eye level.
I'm looking above your microphone.
Okay, so probably a bit higher. It's like probably up where one of those signs are. Yeah, about there.
Okay, yeah. All right. Okay. Yep.
So fix your gaze on that point.
Yep.
And notice whatever details you can about that particular point.
Ooh.
Or if you can't find a point, then you could focus your attention on the centre of your forehead. Then loosen your jaw.
Yeah.
Now allow your mind to relax and let your awareness expand out to the sides of the room while still being aware of that point in front of you.
Uh-huh.
Notice what you can see, hear and feel in the outside edge of that space.
Am I going to tell you?
No, just notice it. Continue to expand your awareness all the way out to the sides of the room while still focusing on that spot in front of you. And once you notice your breath has changed, lower your eyes to the normal level and become aware of how your state has changed.
Okay.
So what have you noticed?
Well, the trouble is with me being here is that I've always got these routines running in my mind, like, is it silent? Are there strange noises? Is the volume, is Stephanie's volume right? So I think it's a little bit of a challenging environment for me.
Well, I teach it on my courses and people go, oh my God, that was so quick and so easy. And then it's like calm. So if you haven't got 5 minutes to do the breathing, you've got 30 seconds to do this, you know.
It is an interesting experience and it shows how like laser focused we are in this culture. Like I'm looking at that point over there and thinking, okay, I can see the computer screen there and I can see the shelves there.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's so much stuff going on in this room, exactly. Posters everywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the other thing with this is that it relates to driving, you know, when you're driving a car. So when we're in, so that's called peripheral vision. So this is when we're aware of everything. So when I'm training, I'm in peripheral vision. I can see everybody in the room. I might be looking at one person, but I can see what's happening over to my right and over to my left.
Yeah.
And that's a really good state for me to be in because it keeps me calm and I can monitor the room.
When and we you don't stress about there's a crowd of people looking at me.
No.
You're probably well past that anyway, aren't you?
I've never had that anyway.
Oh, you've never had that? Okay.
They're just people.
Yeah. Fair enough.
People that either haven't met yet, future friends, right. So, so when we're driving, we want to be in that state because then that's when we're aware that there's a traffic jam 3 kilometres down the road.
Yeah.
Because when we're in foveal vision, which is when we just focused on the thing in front of us, that's when we nearly run up the bumper of the guy in front because we're only focusing on the guy in front, not the traffic that's accumulating further up the road, you
know.
So we really want to be in peripheral vision when we're driving. And this is the times as well when we might be driving from somewhere and all of a sudden you realise you're 10 minutes from home and you think, where the hell have the last 2 hours gone, right?
Yeah.
And then people go, oh my God, you know, I probably wasn't paying attention. Yeah, you were. You were in that peripheral vision, which is the best way to drive.
And
it's called a driving trance.
And your subconscious brain is doing it. You know something that I find really interesting to do is while you're doing the driving like that, just put a little bit of attention on your hands on the steering wheel.
Right.
And what you notice, I've noticed anyway, that there's all these micro adjustments happening while I'm driving.
Right.
That I'm not consciously aware of.
Oh, that's
and then it's really weird. It's kind of like, well, who's driving the car right now? Because I see my hands moving, but I'm not deciding to do that. Like,
yeah.
It's just all these little adjustments. And
All that autopilot that you've an experience that you've gained over the years of driving, it's just happening on automatic autopilot.
And it's much more responsive than consciously thinking about it.
Yeah.
If you're driving fast down the highway and you decide, okay, yeah, I've got a corner coming up, I think the right time to start turning is this moment here, you don't do it nearly as well as if you just let the subconscious brain do it.
Yeah.
Sidetrack, sorry.
No, that's good. That's good. That's a good addition. I'll have to look at the notice that next time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really funny. It's like, what the heck?
Somebody else's hands. So the next one is centering and grounding yourself.
Oh, yes.
This is quite interesting because sometimes when
you know, when you, as soon as you say grounding, I feel relaxed.
Is that a good
word for me, yeah.
Yeah. So quite often when we're in a unresourceful state, shall I say, our mind's all over the place. And, you know, we're thinking about that and this and we've got to do this in front of us. And when I'm training people, I'll say to people, come up and stand beside me, and I have them stand side onto me, and I say, now, you know, think about all those things that you got to do, or, you know, what you're thinking about, and I'm going to push you. So I honestly use like three fingers,
yeah,
and I just push them with like the slot, like a feather touch, and they almost fall over,
right?
Because they're not centered, they're not grounded, their attention is all over the place, and so they're a pushover, literally.
Right? Interesting.
And so I go, okay, so now we're going to do this exercise. So what you do is you stand up with your feet about shoulder width apart and you focus all your attention on the point behind and below your belly button. In Tai Chi, this is known as the lower Dantian and is where you control the store of energy.
Okay.
So around here, right? Imagine energy flowing from this centre down your legs and into the ground, anchoring you to the spot. So I'll say to people, imagine that you've got roots coming from there, going down each of your legs and going down into the ground, right to the core of the earth. Okay. Feel the ground beneath your feet. So if you can do it with bare foot, that's even better. Tell yourself, I'm right here. And keep your attention on that centre. Repeat until you're totally present, calm and feeling grounded. So this is a great exercise to do on the beach or just on the grass or something on your bare feet. So that's another one. It takes like,
there's a man with a very long ladder outside the town hall. What's going on out there? This is a distraction.
It wasn't just the extreme.
Oh,
guys.
I know. I think I know what it is. It's because the suburb flooded last week.
Oh, right.
And there was some hail. Yeah.
And so the last one is called the calm spot, and basically it's 7.5 minutes relaxation. It's me talking to you for 7 minutes.
All right.
In a relax. So,
well, if you enjoyed this interview, you can get another 7 minutes.
Go to stephaniephilp.com and just put in the calm spot. And the idea is that it takes 7.5 minutes, sit in front of the computer and just follow along with what I say on there. And, you know, I'll have you relaxed in no time. And if you haven't got 7.5 minutes in your day, then you probably need to do it twice.
Yeah, so, the less time you have, the more time you need to spend doing it.
Yeah, yeah. And so basically then a breakthrough state can launch you into other physical and emotional states that help you achieve that flow and creativity that we really want. Your state drives your thinking, but your thinking drives your state.
Yeah,
and
so you've got to consciously get in and break the cycle.
Negative cycle,
yeah,
yeah. And then your behaviour results from your state and affects what you do, and thus your achievement. And so it's worthwhile making your state your top priority. Your top priority. This is like a challenge, isn't it? Let's see if we can get into a breakthrough state with everything that's going on around us.
Yeah, I know, it's quite busy this morning. Because they had the drama performance on the weekend, and so I think tidying up from there as well.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it is a particularly busy Monday morning.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, it's kind of... normally I like it, but for this conversation, well, I guess it's illustrating some points about being distracted.
That is, but, well, we can't do anything about the things that are happening outside. All we can do is control our own state. That's another key point, is that whatever's happening out there, you know, some people manage to work in it, and other people, like, I can't do anything because there's so much going on. So what's the difference between the person that can adapt to it and make it work for them and the person that can't?
Yeah.
And it's basically those things, the thinking about it.
And it's hard, I know it's harder for some people and it's sometimes for everyone to get out of that negative space.
Yeah.
It can be a real challenge.
And so those things, to break the state first, you know, put on some music. Even sometimes, essential oils. You know, you can smell something and that might take you back somewhere. Or, you know, or a peppermint oil or something like that can just distract you for a minute enough, you know. Mm. I noticed the other day, I went into Hamilton, I bought this stuff for my hair because, as you know, I've got really frizzy hair. I'm trying to control it. I've only spent the last 100 years trying to control
right.
it.
Right. Well, it looks reasonably under control this morning.
Well, I tell you what, you smell it. You smell my hair.
My nose is blocked. It's not going to work.
It smells like Jamaica.
Perfect. That's great. Your father's from Jamaica. So.
Exactly. So every time I put my hair on, then I go, oh, it smells like Jamaica. I love this stuff. And so that it's something like that, which was totally unexpected.
Yeah.
When I put that on, it's like, oh, this takes me to another place. And it's like really quick. Mm-hmm. So when it got wet when I was out there, it smelled like I was walking in Jamaica.
Yeah, the smells are different. There's access straight into it. I was talking about this with someone last week.
Yeah.
Straight past our conscious, our rational thinking.
A very powerful.
Intellectual brain. Yeah. Straight in there.
Very powerful affecting state. Yeah.
Hey, folks, we've been talking to Stephanie Philp about getting into the flow state, getting out of the negative state into a flow state and all the techniques of how to calm yourself down. So I hope everyone's feeling nice and calm now. Yeah. I hope people were playing along, unless they were driving, which is what we always say.
Well, you want to be calm when you're driving.
It's true, actually. Actually, the driving was in there too. Yeah. You just don't close your eyes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. All right, Stephanie, thank you for coming in.